You are about to hear the best of Radio 8 Ball on Alternative Talk 1150 AM. This episode was recorded on
October 18th, 2007,
with our musical guests
Hans York and guests Eden Sky and Veronica Monet.
Regardless of when this episode was recorded, you are hearing it now, or are about to, and you would do yourself a profound service to invest what you are about to hear with all the intention you can muster.
It's 2 p.m. and the stars are aligned, so it must be time for the Radio 8 Ball Show with Andras Jones.
Welcome to Radio 8 Ball, the pop oracle, where we answer questions by picking songs at random and interpreting these randomly chosen songs as the answers to the questions, like picking musical tarot cards. My name is Andras Jones, and I'm the host of Radio 8 Ball. I like to think of this show, whether it's on the radio or live on stage, as calisthenics for the part of our mind that recognizes synchronicity. Synchronicity, after all, is not a sporadic phenomenon, it's a constant, and sometimes we notice it. When we do, our lives get richer and more fun. And when we use music as an interface, well, that's just plain groovy. Throughout the show, I invite you to invest the questions asked with your own intentions and start thinking of questions you might like to ask in the future. Today's musical provider is singer-songwriter Hans York. And later in the show, we will be joined by natural time visionary and regular contributor to Radio 8 Ball, Eden Sky. And after that, we will have Veronica Monet, a sex and relationship author and personal coach, who is in town to give a talk about sacred prostitution throughout herstory. That's going to be quite a show, don't you think? Whether you are a first-time listener or one of our die-hard synchronicity surfers, the Pop Oracle is sure to have some surprises in store for you today. So stay tuned to the Radio 8 Ball Show.
This hour of the Radio 8 Ball Show on Alternative Talk 1150 AM was brought to you by the Olympia Cloud Council, providing overcast skies to the state capital since 1970.
Are you a self-employed pro who's just a little sick of the soul-crushing loneliness of trying to launch your own business? Meet Biznik.com, where progressive, independent pros close deals and learn valuable and profitable skills. As AboutUs.com says, no matter what your profession, if you're passionate about pursuing constructive and long-term business relationships, Biznik is the place for you. And the first 100 lucky listeners who join Biznik and enter 8Ball as their special code will get a free one-month active membership upgrade. So visit Biznik.com. That's B-I-Z-N-I-K. Biznik. Business networking that doesn't suck.
Where do you get cutting-edge information that's free from the gloom and doom of the mainstream media? Reality Sandwich is a web magazine for these times of intense transition. We cover sustainability to shamanism, alternate realities to alternative energy, holistic healing to visionary technologies, helping to build the world we all dream of. Check out news, art, essays, interviews, podcasts, and more from contributors like Daniel Pinchbeck, Douglas Rushkoff, DJ Spooky, The Yes Men, and Radio 8 Ball's own Andras Jones. Just go to realitysandwich.com and help us evolve consciousness bite by bite.
This is Daniel Pinchbeck, and you're listening to Radio 8 Ball with Andras Jones.
Spread the word. You don't have to settle for the usual talk radio. Now there's Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to Radio 8 Ball, where we answer questions by picking songs at random and interpreting those songs as the answers to the questions, like picking musical tarot cards. Our musical guest on today's show is singer-songwriter Hans York, who will be performing... Where will you be performing next?
I don't know, actually.
Whose career is on hold.
No, I just came back from a big tour, and right now I'm a little bit on hold and finishing up my album here. That's usually what I do when I'm in Seattle.
Great. Well, welcome to the show, Hans.
Thank you very much for
inviting
me.
I've been hearing great things about you from guests to previous guests to the show, like Kim Tuvim and Eric Getz. And it's great to have you here. You understand how the show works.
I think so, yes.
You have a list of songs, eight songs numbered 1 through 8.
Yes.
And we are going to do our musical divination by asking questions and picking a number at random or a number that we don't know. We don't know what's on your list. So I'll just demonstrate it now so people can get an idea. It's a little bit harder to explain than to experience. So my question has to do... Well, it's interesting. I just heard that Joey Bishop, the last surviving member of the Rat Pack, has passed on. in the last day or so. So that's that would be Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Peter Lawford, Joey Bishop, and of course the chairman of the board, Frank Sinatra.
Yeah,
five old school, old sort of old archetype men who that is the end of an era. So I want to know what the Pop Oracle's response to the passing of the Rat Pack. Actually, Rat Pack Volume 2, because the original Rat Pack was Humphrey Bogart's crowd that Frank Sinatra was sort of like the young guy.
Yeah.
And then when Humphrey Bogart died, he took it on and made it into its own phenomenon. But the end of the Rat Pack, with Joey Bishop passing on in the last day or so. So Pop Oracle, there were five in the Rat Pack, so I'll pick song number five.
You pick song number five.
As the answer to the question, and when the song's over, we'll come back and see how this relates to the question.
All right. Shall I start?
Go for it.
Number five.
You'll wonder why you're underwater. You used to be above the clouds. It's been a while since you were breathing. Not long before your time runs out. Remarkable how life is changing. Sometimes too fast to realize how everything around is breaking. A storm has breached your paradise. Curl in a ball, let yourself drift, so gravity can do its thing. Follow the bubbles. Open your eyes and see how they're rising. Follow the bubbles. Don't be afraid that when you're in trouble, they guide you. Follow the bubbles. Follow the bubbles. Follow the bubbles. Ocean is a subject matter too deep to fully understand. Diving doesn't make it better, especially without a friend. When darkness leads to confusion, which way is down and which is up? You can draw the wrong conclusion. Now it's time for you to stop. Curl in a ball, let yourself drift, so gravity can do its thing. Follow the bubbles. Open your eyes and see how they're rising. Follow the bubbles. Don't be surprised that when you're in trouble, they guide you. And when you're in trouble, they guide you. Follow the bubbles. Yeah. Follow the bubbles. Follow the bubbles.
And what was the name of that song?
Follow the Bubbles.
Follow the Bubbles. Is that on one of your CDs?
That's going to be on the next one, yeah. Like okay. I said, I chose eight that are going to be on the next album.
Okay, great. So that was the answer to my question, looking for the Pop Oracle's response to the end of the Rat Pack. The last surviving member of the Rat Pack, Joey Bishop, passed away in the last couple of days. We just heard that on the news. And so that was the response. Do you want to take a stab at how that might answer the question, or you want to hear what I think first?
Let me hear what you think.
Well, the first thing that came to my mind, it made me think of it made me want to go back and listen to the album that Sinatra did with Jobim.
Yeah.
Francis Albert Sinatra and Antonio Carlos Jobim. Jobim was the bossa nova king of the 50s and 60s. And so that the song had that tone. And then just some of the lines that jumped out at me. So it sort of got that as homework. Like, I need to go maybe look at that. Maybe that's where I'm being directed. And then But it was interesting. It seemed to be talking about remarkable how life is changing. A storm has breached your paradise. I'm looking at it from my own context of looking at them as sort of old school, old masculine kind of guys. Something that I think we can still take some of the best of what's there, but we have to leave the rest.
Yeah,
there's a lot there that the sort of overt sexism and it's interesting. We look back now and they really look like very conservative cats. But in fact, for the time, it was a wild thing for them to include Sammy Davis, a black Jew in their group. But then they also made horrible, horrible jokes about him all the way through it. So the storm has breached there. That little comfortable paradise has been breached. And it's interesting. We have these amazing winds going on around us right now. If you look out the window, incredible stormy winds has breached our own paradise. And then the idea about following the bubbles, again, it said there's this decadent thing. I'm thinking of a champagne glass and following the bubbles. But the song is about, you curl into a ball
It's a technique of, I got the song after I talked to a professional diver, and they said, whenever you can be in trouble when you swim in dark or muddy waters. And the way you get, because you can easily swim in the wrong direction, you swim down instead of up. And the way to do it, to get out of that, is basically you really curl into a ball and you drift for a moment. Then gravity automatically aligns your body and your head is pointing up. And then all you do basically is you open your eyes and you blow out bubbles and you follow the bubbles until you get out.
That's really interesting because I was... I write a blog for a magazine, an online magazine called Reality Sandwich, and I just put some information about someone we talk about here on the show sometimes, this guy named Shmushkin, who I write music for. And one of the pieces that I just wrote in response to something that someone said was that they were talking about how he seems... the article I write is about the new masculine, and people were saying, "Well, this seems very old masculine." And one of the things I wrote is that, the new masculine has to reclaim that old thing and put some of the other stuff away, the oppressive aspects of it away. And a big part of reclaiming that old thing is reclaiming what's natural. So I love the idea of going inside and finding what your natural state is and that you'll naturally align with with where you're supposed to be.
Yes.
And then beyond that, to follow the bubbles, that's sort of what we're doing here with synchronicity. Yeah. Following the bubbles, that are flowing without, sort of unbidden. We're not going to set up how this is going to go. I didn't know that I was going to ask this question. You didn't know that song was going to come up. And so we can all just follow these bubbles. And I say this when people are listening to the show. You might not be thinking about the Rat Pack, but there is probably something in your life, if you listen to these questions with the intention to find, to follow those bubbles, you'll find that you align with it as well. So that is an example of how Radio 8 Ball works. And in our next segment, we are going to be joined by natural time visionary and regular contributor to the show, Eden Skye, who will tell us where we are in galactic time. And I know you want to know that, so please stay tuned to Radio 8 Ball.
Theater Underground presents a 90-minute meditation on faith and redemption, set against the themes of Dostoevsky's classic novel.
He had cut himself off from everybody and withdrawn so completely into himself.
Seattle Times calls the production ferocious and hard-hitting, and the PI raves that it's potent.
Do you think that I can contemplate such a terrible act?
Crime and Punishment runs Friday to Sundays at 7:30 p.m., must close October 14th. Tickets are available at CapitolHillArts.com.
Who or what is Shmushkin?
Yeah, Mr. Andy Shmushkin. This is my seventh call.
Discovered by comedian Andy Dick and often described as a cross between James Taylor and Lenny Bruce, Shmushkin is a mysterious folk icon who calls what he does women's music. Listen as he delivers his audacious paeans to the goddess with one of the sweetest voices you'll ever hear.
So long ago.
Currently living in exile, Shmushkin can be heard at www.myspace.com/Shmushkin. Please do your part to make America safe for Shmushkin, and one day he will return.
This is Sandman the Rapping Cowboy, and Radio 8 Ball taught me to ride bull.
Write it down, shout it loud. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Now, wasn't that fun?
Welcome back to Radio 8 Ball, where we answer questions by picking songs at random and interpreting those randomly chosen songs as the answers to the questions, like picking musical tarot cards. I'm your host, Andras Jones, here with Seattle singer-songwriter Hans York. And now, I'd like to welcome our special guest, natural time visionary Eden Skye. Welcome back to the show, Eden.
Hi, Andras. Thank you so much for having me on the show again. I would like to share a natural time update to let people know where we're at in the energies of this alternative calendar system. So within the 13 moon year, each of the 13 moons are aligned with the 13 tones of creation. And this creates the year in terms of a spiral. And it's a process where each of the moons relate to the other ones, and they reflect like the unfolding of nature's creative process. So each one of the moons carries a different focus and a different energy. And they're always the same every year, though. For instance, the new year is always July 26th, and then each month is 28 days long. So today, which is October 18th, will always, always begin the start of the fourth moon, or moon four. And the formal name for this energy is called the self-existing owl moon of form. And these, each of these moons has three words to really focus, to hone in on the energies of the moon. So the words for this moon are define, measure, and form. So this, during this 28-day cycle, there's people in 90 countries who are focusing on these words to open up to the energies. So the way I would invite people into the energy of this moon is this is a cycle to get clear, to define, to get specific, to really discern, you know, how are our lives unfolding, where is our focus, what can we clarify or outline or define to be in a greater alignment with our purpose and the highest use of our time. So this is a time cycle when I would definitely say don't hesitate to make lists, to make decisions, to look at things as clearly and realistically and as groundedly as possible. Because part of the teaching of the tone four, the fourth tone of creation, is that by bringing definition and clear focus into our life, it supports us with a solid foundation, and then it invites growth and empowerment and coherency. And so this moon is about establishing form and using the tools of definition and measure to refine that process. And there's this is about creatively working with the words. Like, for one example, to contemplate, you know, to take the word define and then to kind of travel into that word. And how many different things can we tune in with? Like, for instance, the idea of looking at how we define things and how the way that we frame things affects our perceptions and our experiences of things. Or another one to contemplate is the idea of redefining. And, for instance, like, how can we redefine what it means to be alive right now based on the uniqueness of this era that we're living? So that each of the words, you know, has a lot to look into. And I'd like to also personally invite everyone who's listening to really decode for themselves what the owl medicine might mean to them, how they might invoke that owl energy during this moon. Each of the 13 moons has a different animal totem, and it's based on the Yucatec Mayan zodiac, which has 13 animals. So this is the owl moon. And the reason I say that is because one of the essential aspects of using this alternative calendar system is to increase our personal sense of creativity, of inspiration, connection to the universe. Really, the idea is to enhance our personal field of play every day. And this is really affected by how we define our days and how we define our sense of time and our time cycles. And I just want to point out there's a vast difference between defining today as Thursday, October 18th, versus defining today as self-existing moon day one, white galactic mirror day. For instance, so today is white galactic mirror day. Every day in this calendar has a different galactic signature. And so, you know, and then those come with their own code words that you look into. So one brief insight into the mirror energy of today is that it's inviting us to look in the mirror, to be really reflective, but to also to see others as providing mirrors for us and to be willing to see what we might not want to see. For instance, to see the shadow energies. So this is just one example of how the calendar invites us to be self-reflective, to find spiritual inquiry, rather than the calendar that we're used to using, you know, the 12-month Gregorian, October 18th. Really, in my perception, that calendar, it just provides us like a meaningless march of days that often leaves us feeling like we're constantly running out of time, we're constantly behind. And I really feel that it disassociates us from the sacred dimension and the divine order. And I just have a little personal agenda that I think it's really actually very important that we all question, you know, what or whose agenda is being served by all of us around the globe in every country, if every culture and every religion using the 12-month Gregorian calendar and scheduling our entire lives around it. And that's something that I'll let people think about for themselves, and we have tons of information on our website about that.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, you know, for people who are playing with synchronicity, and I mean, to me, the reason I have you on the show so regularly is because I think that the work you're doing with natural time and the work that we're doing here with synchronicity is that they're aligned. And I know that since I've been working with the calendar for the last year or during this galactic year, basically, I've had some really amazing experiences working with the calendar. And you can find out more about that at 13moon.com. That's the number 13 and then the word moon.com. And there's a link to that on the Radio 8 Ball site. And we'll be giving that information out again later in the show. So you sort of led us into a question. Is that the question you want to ask? Or do you have what question would you like to ask of the Pop Oracle?
That wasn't my question. That's a good one. But... I had a different question.
Okay.
But you know, it doesn't exactly correspond. But for some reason, I was moved to share this question. Which, if I could just premise it for a moment, the source of this calendar system is called the Dream Spell, and that was brought through by José Arguelles and Moedín Arguelles after a tremendous amount of study into the ancient Maya and their systems. It's called the Dream Spell. And part of also the philosophy that I really live my life by is the idea that the entire universe really at its deepest levels exhibits the characteristics of a dream. And I'm a Buddhist. I'm very interested in the teachings of Buddhism. And one of the things they invite us is to contemplate the dreamlike nature of reality. And so for some reason today, you know, or yesterday in contemplating what the question was, I was drawn there. And my question was or is, how can we be lucid dreamers within the waking dream of this life?
Excellent. Now, what's the number between 1 and 8 that isn't 5?
Oh, I was going to say 5.
I already got to it.
3. Okay, 3.
Okay, 3. Good. You just go right into your subconscious and pick the first number that comes to you. So song number 3 from Hans York, the answer to Eden Sky's question, how can we be lucid dreamers in this waking dream?
A lot of friction, little action, ready to submit. a predilection for distraction. Really ought to quit this situation. A meditation music unlocks my mind. Inspiration, invocation, rhythm stops time. What I need in every dimension seems like a brand new start. Taking a leap with no apprehension. Love is food for the heart, without the guilt and all the sadness and feeling that we've been tossed. All that we build without the madness, looking for something we've lost. Inspiration, invocation, invitation. Walk into temptation, a sensation we can't resist. Dropping inhibition, opportunities we've missed. We thought we had the perfect match, weren't watching, and then our lines got crossed. Couldn't see the hidden catch, looking for something we've lost. Inspiration, invocation, invitation, inspiration. Invocation, invitation. A lot of friction, little action, ready to submit. A predilection for distraction. Really ought to quit this situation. A meditation music has on my mind. Inspiration, invocation, rhythm stops time. Inspiration, invocation, rhythm stops time. Inspiration, invocation, rhythm stops time. Inspiration, invocation, invitation, inspiration, invocation, invitation.
Beautiful, beautiful. And the name of that song?
Invocation.
Invocation. It had to be invocation or inspiration.
That was just an absolutely stunning song.
Yeah, and perfect, a pretty perfect answer to your question, too.
It seemed like it was really clear.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do you want to take a, do you want to give a sense of what it was that you got?
For me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the first line that struck me was this predilection for distraction really ought to quit. And that just really, it really hit me. It's like we're in this dream, but if we're distracted from that, then we go back asleep, and we're like sleepwalking, and we're not, you know, we're not being creatively awake. And so the distraction is definitely a huge challenge to being wakeful, to being lucid, right? You can't be lucid and distracted at the same time. And then, but even just the, what he kept saying, you know, inspiration, invocation, invitation, that's how to be lucid, to follow our inspiration, to invoke what we're seeking, to receive the invitation, to be lucid. Like, that just seems so direct.
Yeah.
And then he had this one great line about, I think I missed a part of it, but something about without the guilt and without the feelings we've been taught. And that just really struck me, too, because it's like, you know, how we're influenced by each other, and these things get these distorted ideas get passed along, and these, again, the sleepwalking energy, or the things we take for granted, or the guilt feelings, or all these things that cover up, you know, who we really are in this lucid way. That just really also struck me. Wonderful. Yeah. Did you want to share?
I don't think there's much more that I have to share. I'm just curious, Hans, like,
I like that a lot. Yeah. Can I take you on tour? That was awesome.
There's going to be a lot more artists asking you that question, I think. So, but what was it? What was your inspiration?
Kind of came from a T-shirt that I once saw that said I usually don't like the T-shirts with quotes on it, but this one really got me. It said something to the regard of no matter how much information we acquire, it is the amount of inspiration that we can provide that will turn the tides.
Oh, absolutely.
And I always believe that it's not just the musicians or the artists that can inspire. It's literally we come to this world with a gift that we inspire, and we can do that by the way we live our lives. You know, I mean, Andras, you know, by the way you do that thing, you inspire a lot of people out there, and so many others do that, you know, by just the way they hold themselves together and that they walk through this life despite a lot of distractions and despite falling back asleep and then waking up again and wondering, well, why did I do that or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that was perfect. That was
and the inspiration is like how we keep each other awake or keep helping each other wake back up again.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, that's what I say. Like I tell people, a lot of my friends, you know, I'm an inspiration junkie. You
exactly.
Know? if my friends are, if the person around me is inspired, I'm happy. And they could be inspired about something that is just really boring to me, but it's not boring to me if they're inspired, and they could be doing something that's very exciting to me. But if they're not inspired by it, in the end, it doesn't really get to me. So it's like, and it almost ties into that last question we were asked. Like, I don't know if you were listening. We were talking about the Rat Pack and the idea of curling into a ball and allowing yourself, you know, like go inside and find what's there, and then you'll align to what's natural, and then follow the bubbles to where you need to go.
Absolutely. So, and everyone's source of inspiration can be so unique.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's another example of how this fabulous divination tool works. And in our next segment, we are going to be joined by sex educator and activist Veronica Monet. And you might wonder, what does she have to do with all this? Well, she has a lot to do with all this, and we'll see how it all aligns in just a moment. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Radio 8 Ball.
When Radio 8 Ball isn't on the air, I like to visit the online oracle at radio8ball.com, where there's always an answer, and sometimes I can sing along with it.
Oh, person, we're really missing you. It breaks all of our hearts to know that you just want to come on home. So come on home. The telephone, it just doesn't seem to...
1150kknw.com, your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back for more Radio 8 Ball, where we answer questions by picking songs at random and interpreting these songs like musical tarot cards. Our musical guest is Hans York, and we're here with Natural Time visionary Eden Sky. And now we are pleased to welcome to Radio 8 Ball Veronica Monet. Veronica Monet is in town tonight to give a talk about sacred prostitution from ancient archetype to postmodern reality. And we'll be giving out the information where you can get tickets for that. That's tonight in Green Lake. And I could read a lot of stuff here about the stuff that Veronica has done, but I want to give her as much time on the air to talk about what she's doing as possible. So, Veronica, welcome to Radio 8 Ball.
Great to be here.
Can we bring her up a little bit? Okay.
And I love the storm outside. It's very inspiring.
Yes. So you're in town to give this talk about sacred prostitution from ancient archetype to postmodern reality.
Yes.
And do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely.
Great.
You know, but I do also want you to come to the salons.
Oh, I'm going to be there. I'm absolutely going to be there.
I'll tease you along. How's that?
Just sounds great.
In the tradition of a sacred prostitute, I'll tease you along. So a lot of people probably wonder what prostitution has to do with their day-to-day life. And a banal answer to that would be about a third of American men have seen a prostitute or will see a prostitute sometime in the course of their life. So that's a sizable amount of the population. It might be interesting to find out what's going on there. The other thing that maybe a more spiritual answer to that question would be, it has everything to do with the roots of peace. Mm-hmm. And that might seem like a big leap to some people, but if you look at ancient goddess cultures, sacred prostitution was a part of that. Mm-hmm. And it is sometimes a controversial thing. People will bicker about, no, they weren't really prostitutes. And I think that that's semantics, because what we're really talking about here is the sacred approach to sex. Mm-hmm. And if you're thinking about sex as just being sacred because it is sex, mm-hmm. and that it has these healing and spiritual components to it, or maybe it's not even components, maybe it is mm-hmm. the core of spirituality. If you're looking at it that way, then sacred prostitution is a very integral part of that.
It's priestess work.
It is. It is priestess work. And it's also something that is really embedded in nature. So, you know, little known fact, there's prostitution in nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Some people know that the bonobos, which is a type of ape.
Yeah, our closest genetic relatives.
They are. They stand upright like us. The females' vulvas have actually rotated towards the front so that mm-hmm. they have a lot of missionary-style sex. And they do a lot of eye gazing, where they're actually looking into each other's eyes. As a matter of fact, if their partner's not eliciting a lot of sexual response, they'll stop having sex.
Mm-hmm.
They are very much about connection, intimacy, and pleasure. But they also have prostitution.
Wait, I'll give you two bananas and you'll rub me in a nice way?
No. See, and this is the interesting thing about the way...
I'm just playing a straight man here.
I know. Prostitution has been so co-opted by the the prevailing paradigm, which is, you know, it's male dominated.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea being that somehow or another men are out there, or the males would be soliciting. It's not that way. It's the females that are soliciting. Mm-hmm. The females are going up to males going, hey, that looks good. I'd like some of that. I'll give you some of this if you give me some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the bonobos, that's actually the only sexual coercing that goes on in their culture. Mm-hmm. Because they're very much about consensual sexual behavior. But there's a little bit of pressure applied for this transaction to take place by the juvenile females, who are the ones who are usually prostituting.
Mm-hmm.
They will like really put their rear ends in the guy's face and say, oh no, you really do want to do this. And he might go, no, I'm eating, leave me alone. He said, nope, we're going to have sex and then you're going to give me some of that. So it's kind of funny.
Wow. I for those who don't know a lot about the bonobos, it's a really amazing and enlightening thing to do some research on, particularly for people who are interested in, you know, in our evolution to where we are and what our, you know, how we might have had our evolutionary trajectory. We might have the wrong ideas about what that is. Like,
well, for instance, we are always told that our genetics predisposes towards violence.
Right.
And that it's very natural for us to be jealous and possessive and territorial about sexuality. But if you look at the chimpanzees and the bonobos and humans, which we are supposed to have all come from the same evolutionary tree, and we're not descended from either one of those apes, nor are they descended from us. There is like a foreparent comes before that, and the three of us come off of that tree. And the bonobos actually are closer to humans genetically than they are to chimpanzees.
Right.
And we have a lot of similarities between both. So it could be said that we are equally related to both chimpanzees and bonobos. But here's the interesting thing. If you look at human history, we have kind of had the bonobo-chimpanzee evolutionary track already, because we had the violent patriarchal cultures,
mm-hmm.
and we had the more peaceful agrarian goddess cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the violent cultures took precedent and pretty well wiped out the peaceful agrarian cultures.
And this ties in again with the Eden Sky thing. I just want to say, and that also
connects with how we changed from having from being on natural time
Absolutely.
To this artificial time that she's talking
Absolutely,
about.
Absolutely, because you know you start off with the peaceful goddess cultures. This is where we start getting math. We start getting the telling of time. Women are keeping track of their menstrual cycles, mm-hmm. and they're noticing that it coincides with the phases of the moon. Mm-hmm. So this is why we come up with a month. Mm-hmm. It's a moon.
Right.
And, and while we're doing that, we are really female-centric. We're paying a lot of attention to women's cycles and their power. And then, you know, the violent cultures come in and take over that. And, you know, for my money, I don't want to offend anybody who might consider themselves Christian. But when I read the Bible when I was a little girl, and I read it from cover to cover when I was 12 years old, the Old Testament Bible is really chronicling this genocide.
Yeah.
And it's talking about, you know, that I'm giving you the land of the Canaanites and the Philistines. And there are references in there, if you study the Bible, about these uppity women who are mm-hmm. harlots and whores. And how dare they, you know, be having any kind of political or sway over their men. And so that whole war is really documented, even, you know, in some of our religious books.
Yeah. So we could talk about this. We could do a whole show about this. But I want to bring you back into the divination aspect of the show. So do you have a question that comes out of this that you can address to the Pop Oracle and see what we get?
Well, I do, but it's kind of controversial. I would just say,
as long as it doesn't use the seven words we're not allowed to say. Eric's got his finger on the button.
Am I allowed to say the W word?
Women?
No, W-H-O-R-E.
Oh, yeah, you can say that.
Okay, I would just say, why are we so afraid of whores?
Why are we so afraid of whores? That's a great question. Would you pick a number between 1 and 8 that is not 3 nor 5?
4.
Okay, song number 4. Why are we so afraid of whores? From Hans York.
Okay, I'm going to go on that one. Oh, my.
I've been told to change my mind. Never know, never know. I like to see what I find, where I go, as I go. And as I see endless days, life slowly unfold. Which of the 10,000 ways should I go, should I go? And time will tell, I will find a way. Falling, ever falling, like a raindrop for the sea. So the path we follow, wondering ever where it leads. You tell me that it won't work. Maybe so, maybe so. There's a chance that I get hurt. Yes, I know, yes, I know. Sometimes I do wonder why. I believe, I keep going on and try until I see, till I see. And time will tell, and love will find a way. Falling, ever falling, like a raindrop for the sea. So the path we follow, wondering ever where it leads. Love comes around, out of the blue. Wonder and dream about the moment. My eyes will fall on you. Day after day in my car, all alone, all alone. Nothing for me seems too far, nothing's written in stone. A patch of blue colors the sky, between clouds, no, my sadness will pass by, without doubts, and time will tell, and love will find a way, falling, ever falling, like a raindrop for the sea. So the path we follow, wondering ever where it leads. Falling, ever falling, like a raindrop for the sea. So the path we follow, wondering ever where it leads.
And what was the name of that song?
Ever Falling.
Ever Falling. The answer to Veronica Monet's question, why are we so afraid of whores? And so, Veronica, I'll go to you first. Do you have some sense of how that might have answered your question? I have a couple of ideas. And we also have Eden Skye still on the line, and we'll invite her to chime in as well.
I'll tell you what I got out of it. I'm not sure it was an answer so much, but you know, it was in a kind of an obtuse way. I really related to it on a personal level, because if one thing I said in there was that I might get caught, and I've been a sex worker rights activist since 1990, and I have gone to jail one time for this, so that perked my ears up a little bit.
That makes three of us.
Good, I'm in good company.
Yes.
and the other thing was just, you know, following that's exactly how it was for me. I got the college education, the degree in psychology. I was an honor student. I tutored English on campus, played everything by the book. And then I spent 7 years in corporate America. And my last straight job was as a marketing representative for, ironically enough, a radio station. So when I got into prostitution, I had no idea what the hell I was doing. And I was really quite shocked, kind of dismayed, and very concerned. But I just kept following that path. And it just opened up for me. And it went from a way to pay off credit cards to all of a sudden a sacred calling to, you know, I started studying under this woman named Cozy Fabian, who was teaching sacred prostitution classes. And then I started studying Tantra. It was, for me, a really, really important part of my spiritual development. I had no idea at the time. I was quite confused.
Yeah. Eden. So I want to go over to you. This is Eden Skye, our natural time visionary, who's here. And what did you think about that as the answer to the to Veronica's question?
You know, the one thing that stood out, and it's kind of a, it was the line, time will tell, love will find a way.
Yeah.
So that was sort of, that was the one thing that made sense to me, because I was really listening for clues. And it was like, why are we so afraid of horrors? Well, time will tell, and love will find a way, like we'll eventually break through these fears, was what I heard in that.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was interesting. One of the things about the nature of this or this pop oracle is that sometimes it gives us direct answers, and sometimes it gives us a reflection of where we are when we're asking the question. So I got that from your interpretation, Veronica. And what I thought was really, I loved the sweetness of the song, the sort of like almost childlike innocence. And, you know, it made me think of how we lose that. And one of the places we lose that is where, for men or women, when we realize that the world is going to say that on the level of sexuality, most of us are wrong. We're wrong. And we end up, I like the line, day after day in my car, all alone, that aloneness, that sort of putting us, you know, sort of as a in this piece of machinery, that you know, we have a closer relationship to our car, most of us, than we do to our sexual organs. You know, in a we are more a more educated relationship, and a certainly more culturally celebrated relationship. And something about that loneliness and that cutoff
could be an example of why we are afraid of people who are sexually empowered, and especially people who are taking a path of sacred sexuality and taking it not just out of the closet or, you know, behind closed doors, but out into the world as a sacred calling. And you could see why priests might be afraid of priestesses who are like that. but I like that it said nothing's written in stone. And I see that something is changing. And I think that it's tied up in the work that you're doing, Veronica. And I think it's tied up in the work that you're doing, Eden, with the natural time calendars. And I know that Eden, you had an idea. There was when we knew that Veronica was going to be going on.
Yeah, I wanted to make a bridge between the work that we're doing with inviting people to explore the relationship to time and a new calendar system with what the work Veronica's doing. So I wanted to just briefly share. The dream spell, which is the source of this galactic calendar.
And I should just let you know, we only have about a couple of minutes.
Yeah,
so,
I'm going to be really brief.
Okay.
Defines that we are right now living in what's called Planet Babylon. And it says that there's this memory virus that's obscured our awareness, and it's created what's called cosmic amnesia, where we've forgotten our true nature. And the key energies that define Planet Babylon that we need to redeem are materialism, false spirituality, sex taboo, and death fear. And what I understand is that collectively we're experiencing a healing crisis right now, a crisis of consciousness. And I firmly believe that our distorted attitudes about our sexuality is an absolutely essential, huge area that needs illumination, healing, and a coming into right alignment, and specifically a shift from a mentality of consumption towards the sexual energy to one of honoring sexual energy as the sacred power, as the cosmic creative principle.
Oh, can I do a postscript on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Please. hi, Eden, by the way. I was listening to the fact that this is the month of the owl.
Yeah.
And one of the goddesses that I resonate with is Lilith. And she is a goddess who's part owl. She has the wings and the feet of an owl. And a lot of sacred prostitutes resonate with Lilith because she was thrown out of the Garden of Eden for not copulating in the missionary-style position. Mm. And the other thing is interesting, you mentioned Babylon, because I often envision that the sex worker rights movement is trying to rebirth the great horror of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you all more information about where you can find out about all these three amazing people we have in the studio. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this discussion, but please stick around. I'll be coming back in just a minute, and I'll let you know where you can find out about Veronica's talk, about Eden's calendars, and about Hans York's music. So please stick around.
Remember, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And that brings to a close this episode of the Radio 8 Ball Show. I want to really thank our guests Eden Skye and Veronica Monet and singer-songwriter Hans York. You can find out more about Eden Skye and the Natural Time Calendar at 13moons.com. You can find out about Hans York at hansyork.com, and those links are on the Radio 8 Ball site. Also, you can find out more about Veronica Monet by going to our site. And then I want to give a special shout out to her talk that's going on tonight, Sacred Prostitution from Ancient Archetype to Postmodern Reality, from 7 to 9 p.m. It's a $20 talk at 6529 Latona Avenue, 98115. And if you want more information about that, please email me through the Radio 8 Ball site at the links that are available there. Thanks a lot to everyone who played along, whether you actually participated or just gave your attention to the show. Until next week, this is Andras Jones wishing you spine-tingling synchronicities, connection with the natural world, and all the inspiration you can handle.
Do you like this show? I do, and I love making it for you. If you'd like to support Radio 8 Ball, please take part in our continuing Patreon campaign by pledging $8 or more a month to our explorations of music and synchronicity here on Radio 8 Ball, and receive one of our synchromistic gifts as a thank you. The address is patreon.com/radio8ball. That's patreon.com/radio8ball. Thank you for your attention and for your support.